For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Sam Brookhouse of Sumer Sports joins us now. Sam, we're finally here, man. 2 days away from the NFL draft. What's good?
Man, I'm getting antsy. It seems like no one has an idea what's going to happen from pick 2, which apparently is now on the block, with reports that the Browns and the Giants are fielding calls to trade up to 2 and 3 from other teams, which I suspected as a nihilistic analyst who always wants people to trade back at the beginning of the draft season, or whether it's where these quarterbacks are going to go and who likes what quarterback. It feels like 2 to 32 day one is going to be the Wild West, and it hasn't been that way in years, so I'm excited for it.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I want to go back to what you just said, though, because I get myself in some trouble overanalyzing the semantics of these things from time to time. But I thought that the Peter Schrager report on ESPN that you're referencing was a nothing burger non-report. He just said it in a way, like very slowly, that made it seem like he had news. But to me, he said that teams are calling the Browns at 2 and the Giants at 3 and they're not hanging up. Like, did I miss something? Of course they are. Why wouldn't they? And why would they hang up? That doesn't mean anything.
So here's my kind of thought of it. And it really matters about 2 and 3. And there's two pieces of information that I've kind of latched on to going even back into Shrine Bowl talks where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were close to Shedeur Sanders. But if I have the number 2 pick and I'm the Browns and I know that I'm an immensely analytical franchise, they employ the Jonah Hill character from Moneyball, Paul DePodesta. He is now a vice president, has been for many years for the Browns, immensely analytical. Andrew Berry has an analytical background as well, their general manager. I am absolutely blowing up the Giants' phone at 3 just to see if they want to draft a quarterback. And if they want to draft a quarterback, say, well, we're taking calls from the Steelers. We're taking calls from the Saints. Because if they can trade back one spot, get extra draft capital, and still get Travis Hunter, who they've used, you know, the word Shohei Ohtani to compare to, that's a real win for me. So I think that's a lot of what's going on. Probably, you know, even some maybe prank calling just to see what you could get. I mean, after all, Luka Doncic was traded this year, right? So who knows what could happen. But I think it is, to your point, kind of a lot of that, a lot of feeling out what could happen, seeing if there's any home runs out there. And if not, you just take the pitch and end up making the selection at 2 or 3.
So this reminds me of 22 here, Sam, in terms of the draft, where there weren't any quarterbacks really highly thought of to go high. It was Trayvon Walker went number 1 overall to the Jaguars. Right. So this, we've got a pretty good feel. Tennessee won, it's Cam Ward, you know, maybe not a sexier film, but that's what we know. Just kind of to your point, I really have no idea. From 2 to 3 on, I think that influences everybody else. Like, do you get the sense that nobody really knows what Cleveland and New York are going to do? Or do you think maybe this is just disinformation of the last week to sort of see what happens?
I'm kind of the mind that no one really knows what's going to happen. I think if you just were to look at the data, the consensus big boards, the consensus mock drafts, which, as you know, includes some beat reporters who may have more information on any given team and some evaluators who have more information from the scouts themselves. There's really a class of one at the top, and that's Travis Hunter. There's questions about guys like Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, even Ashton Jeanty, who most of the questions are about him at the running back position, just more generally in the first round. There's questions about that. So it seems like a class of one in Travis Hunter. So I think it would be okay if the Browns just went ahead and selected him. But I think there's a very, very unique thing that we really haven't seen, I guess maybe since like the Daniel Jones draft, where quarterback one is very far away from consensus big board one, consensus big board one being Travis Hunter, Cam Ward being in like the 17s of most consensus big boards. Then you drop to like the 20s or 30s. That's another big gap down to Shedeur Sanders. And then you go to, you know, 50 day two, or round two, round three, Jackson Dart. Those big gaps between the quarterbacks, the most important position in football, lead to so much uncertainty. I, for one, think it's probably a one or two quarterback first round. But guys like Thomas Dimitroff, who have sat in that seat, my boss, the president at Sumer Sports, he has sat in the seat, he has felt the quarterback pressure, and he has dealt with other people who are massively feeling the quarterback pressure as well when trying to make these calls on draft days. On our SiriusXM show on Fridays, he said that he thinks it's going to be four guys, that the pressure is too high, these teams are too in need of quarterbacks, particularly the Steelers, the Saints, the Giants, and that they're going to pull the trigger when the time is right, whether that's trading up to get a guy at the back of the first round or just selecting him with their pick. He thinks there's going to be four guys. So to summarize, I think it's the Wild West out there. No one knows, and everyone is operating with a degree of uncertainty, and they're really going to have to bet on their analytics teams and their evaluators to get a sense of the availability of these quarterbacks if they want to try to grab one, whether that's day one or day two.
Would the fourth be Milroe?
Now, that is an excellent question. Coming out of the Senior Bowl, it felt as if he was the clear fourth, right? In recent weeks, everything from betting odds, the poly market, prediction markets have massively shifted because he's attending the draft. And the NFL has said that they don't want guys attending the draft who will not be selected. They invited him to the draft. Do they know something we don't know? Now, all of a sudden, he seems to have the best tools, especially running the ball, out of any of these quarterbacks. That shows up in our Sumer AI, Sumer scores, talking about running the ball at the quarterback position. Do the Steelers like him because he can have more tools than Justin Fields did last year, more tools than Russell Wilson did last year? I don't know. Clearly, there is something that we don't understand when it comes to Jalen Milroe. But what I can say, he struggled with accuracy this year. He took a lot of sacks, even though he was pretty good at avoiding, you know, what should have been clear sacks, and he just wasn't immensely productive through the air, despite, you know, having Alabama, having Ryan Williams out there at the wide receiver position. So I think right now he has to be in the QB3 discussion with Jackson Dart, and he is certainly probably quarterback four.
Sam Brookhouse, Sumer Sports, with us here on G&D. So, looking big picture, I get the sense this could be seven, maybe eight defensive ends or edges. Mm-hmm. I guess now we have to refer to them as guys that rush the passer for a living. Might come off the board here in the first round. The reason I bring that up, A, just as a phenomenon, but B, that might be what Washington's looking for at the end of that first round. Your thoughts on this edge market?
It's very unique, and it brings about a question that us data scientists like to always get into when it comes to the draft. And that is, how do we know that any given one of these guys will be better than all the rest? So it seems as if Abdul Carter has set himself apart. He did so with excellent play. He was one of the most disruptive pass rushers in the league, in the NCAA this year, was an immense part of a Penn State team that made a deep run in the college football playoffs. But how do we know that he's better than any of the other seven that people really think are primo prospects? And the difference really is that he has less questions. Everyone kind of in that second tier has a big question, whether that's Jalen Walker. Can he make the move from the off-ball linebacking position to the edge rushing position full time, if that's possible? to Mike Green. Did it at Marshall. Can he do it at the NFL? Shamar Stewart, excellent in our Sumer scores, which grade on the frame-by-frame basis, but not super productive. Not a lot of tackles for loss, not a lot of sacks. Every one of those guys has a key question, but I think really a lot of them could be real contributors if they fall into the right situation for them that can answer those questions. When I'm talking to the scouts that we have on our team, when I'm talking to Thomas Dimitroff, they say that you scout for what the guy can do, not for what he can't do, because good coaches and good front offices build around what the guys can't do to accentuate what they can do. And I got to tell you, 7 to 8 of these guys, including if you want to include Jihad Campbell, who is probably a true off-ball linebacker but does have edge rushing upside, have a lot of things that they can do really well.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sam Brookhouse is with us, joining us ahead of the NFL draft from Sumer Sports. So a guy that I keep coming back to when I try to do the Venn diagram here of who's likely to be available and who do I think Washington likes based on what I'm hearing is Nick Skorton. Started at Purdue, finished at A&M, ended up having just 5 sacks this season, but he did have a 10-sack year 2 years ago in the Big Ten. What can you tell me about him, and what would you think about him as a pick for Washington at 29?
So it's an interesting setup with these defensive linemen from Texas A&M. In particular, you'll hear some names from these defensive lines that have a ton of studs. The first one you mentioned, Nick Skorton, Texas A&M. Shamar Stewart was on that line. Shamar Turner, who will be drafted probably day two or day three, also on that line. Michigan and Ole Miss, similar things. Walter Nolan will probably be available in that zone, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. But with Skorton in particular, immensely productive at Purdue, something that I'm really interested in is his run defending capabilities. High tackle for loss rate when you're looking at all the snaps that he took and the production that he got against the run. I think his ability to be a bigger edge rusher who can potentially play the run super well while also providing some pass rush upside is key for his projection. And I think he probably could fit into, you know, a team like Dan Quinn's defense and the Commanders' defense. A guy who has been falling, though, is named James Pierce out of Tennessee. Edge rusher, has likely been falling due to off the field concerns, which I'm not a private investigator. I don't have all the data when it comes to, you know, the record or anything that these guys are hiring people to dig up information on. But what I can say is this time last year, he was expected to be one of the top guys in the draft. And at the end of the year, at the end of the season this year, he was still considered to be a top 5, top 10 level player. He's dropped since the combine, even though he had an excellent combine. The pieces are all there. You got to put him in a position which makes sense to, you know, nerf some of those character concerns or effort concerns. And who better than Dan Quinn to do that? Bringing in a speed rusher. We've seen him do it with Dorrance Armstrong. We saw him do it with Micah Parsons. I think it'd be a great fit. James Pierce, if he ends up falling to the Commanders, if they end up filling that edge role with James Pierce.
So, Sam, help me with the Texas A&M defensive ends. Why do they have like a sack and a half more than I do this year? Is there something schematic-wise? Like the Scorton especially, but I really want to go to Shamar Stewart, who is like off the world or out of this world combine measurements and athletic scores and things where you go, oh my God, look at this. And then, again, he had a sack more than a guy selling popcorn in Section 415. Why so little productivity in that regard from those defensive ends? I would just feel a lot more confident drafting either one of them had they ended up with, you know, in the five or six range. Now, I'm not talking about even a world beater, just something more there.
So I want to start off at the high level. Data analysts have found, research has found, that sometimes when you're looking at sacks or just production, that it doesn't go year to year super well. So a guy, for example, in college who has a million sacks may not have a million sacks if he's really converting every pressure he gets. What we really want to know is how much he's beating the offensive lineman and how many pressures, which is a kind of subjective measure, but basically a measure of how is he disrupting the passer, even though he may not necessarily getting a hit? Basically, what can he do by himself to cause problems? All of those guys are very good at doing that. There was some schematic interesting elements. For example, Shamar Stewart, bigger guy. I think he looked more like 280, weighed in at 267 at the combine. I think he was probably playing at a more around 280 at A&M. He was lining up in what we call the four eye, the inside eye of the tackle. A lot harder to rush the passer there because you're not getting those one-on-one matchups. Sometimes the guard can help. Sometimes the center can help. That positional versatility is really valuable to teams, but it doesn't show up super well on the stat sheet that you get in your local newspaper when I'm talking sacks and tackles. As a result, when you look at the frame-by-frame, millisecond-by-millisecond level, he was immensely productive, and he was doing really good things in our artificial intelligence Sumer scores, even though it did not show up in the sack total. But sometimes you got to go down to it, you know, like bringing it back to Moneyball. If he can hit so well, how come he doesn't hit good? He's going to have to turn a little bit more of that into production at the next level. But the question becomes, will he just be in a better position to do so in an NFL defense than he was necessarily lining up in the three tech and the four eye all the time because of the talent on that Texas A&M defensive line that could just completely dominate with pretty base techniques offensive linemen at the college level?
Sam Brookhouse, you see why we enjoy his insight from Sumer Sports. We're going to hear from Adam Peters in about an hour, so we're looking forward to seeing what he has to say. Excellent. About pick 29. Should be fun. Last one from me, trading back out of that round, this narrative that people are going to want to come up to get the quarterback, to get the fifth-year option, I can't even think of an example of that in the last couple picks post-Lamar Jackson. But every team always wants to trade back, right? I mean, I'm sure the Chiefs have liked the idea of trading back for years. They haven't been able to pull the trigger. Should we expect that Washington can do that?
I'd suspect so. I've struggled to find trade partners per se, but here is probably the profile of a team that wants to trade up. The first is going to be a team that needs a tackle. There's only a couple guys who people really slate to not be a swing offensive lineman in this draft, period. Some people even think Will Campbell and Armon Membu all the way up at the top will probably end up being a guard at the next level. I don't necessarily agree with that. We've talked to Duke Manyweather, their trainer. He doesn't seem to think that. The data doesn't seem to indicate that. But that's just the general thought to give you an idea. In the back half of that first round, there's going to be a couple of guys who are going to be in discussions to be a true tackle. That's Josh Connerly out of Oregon, Simmons out of Ohio State, and probably Ariante Ursary, who is going to be more of a borderline day two guy out of Minnesota. If those guys start coming off the board, I'd suspect a team who really needs a tackle to kind of want to move up. The Chiefs are an example of this. If those guys start going, I wouldn't be shocked if they try to move up two or three picks as they did last year for Xavier Worthy in order to secure a guy that they think is going to be a tackle at the next level. The second, we talked about a little bit, those edges, after those seven to eight edges, if they all go in the first round, there's not going to be a lot more in that market until probably round three or round four. And once you get into round three and round four, there starts to be a lot of question marks about those guys. So that's the profile of a team that the Commanders may want to look at, a team perhaps looking to grab an edge before they all run out day one, or a tackle before they all run out day one. If they end up doing that, I would suspect them to try to go with a secondary player, primarily the cornerbacks in this draft. I'm talking Savon Rovell, Benjamin Morrison, all guys that struggled with injury, but appear to have, you know, a borderline blue chip, just performance element to them or athletic element to them, despite the major question, what's dropping them down to into a different tier is a major injury. I'd suspect they end up going secondary if they end up trading back and allowing a team to select with their pick.
Sam, great with us as always, man. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the draft.
Appreciate it, y'all. I'm excited.
Zoomer Sports, go check them out. Sam Brookhouse joining us on Grant and Danny.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.